If you're a woman seeking a safe space to hear genuine conversations about faith, family, mental health, and life as a modern day woman, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Desiree Ofori Podcast. Before we get into today's episode, I wanted to give you a disclaimer and trigger warning. This episode includes an in-depth conversation about traumatic experiences of mental, physical, sexual, and substance abuse. It is not suitable for young listeners or for people with whom such topics may trigger. Please use your discretion and discernment when listening to this episode. Thank you.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Desiree Ofori Podcast. I'm so glad to have you. Today we have a guest by the name of Claire Davey. Claire and I go back, way back. I'm trying to think how long it's been since I graduated from college. It's been a hot minute. But we met at Southeastern University. There's just so many parts of our story that can reach so many different women in different areas of life. And it's just starting off the bat, I just want you to know that you are never too far gone, that there is nothing that you could have done, that you could have experienced, that God cannot take and switch around, make beautiful. As they say, you know, he makes beauty for ashes, and it is so true. We are living proof of that. We're not perfect. Nobody is perfect. This is a journey that you will continue to grow and to change and develop. There's always something else to grow in. There's always something else to discover. There's always another onion peel layer to pull back. But through it all, God has been faithful. And I just want to encourage you right off the bat that you're not too far gone and God's got your back. He's got your back. So Claire has gone on to become an amazing woman of God. She is a speaker, an author, and life and marriage coach. She is also a wife and a mother, and she helps women unlock spiritual transformation. She's a woman after God's own heart. She's on fire for God. She loves Jesus. She moves with the Holy Spirit and is a prayer warrior. You are in for a very special treat. So welcome, Claire. Thank you so much for being part of the podcast.
Girl, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here. And that was amazing.
So do you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I am a mother. I have been with my husband for almost 20 years. So I left Southeastern I started early there. I was 17. So I've been with my husband since I was 19. Raised his son, our son, Wyatt, my stepson, and then he's 24. And then we have Gavin, 14, London, our only daughter is 12, and then Zion is 7. And I started at Southeastern, and I guess we'll just start there. I went there by a divine appointment. It's funny, the sovereignty of God, it makes me realize, because of my childhood, I was sexually abused, physically abused, richly abused, spiritually abused. There was dysfunction in the home, poverty. We were homeless. We were at, you know, one point living in somebody's loft that my mom had met at the grocery store. We couldn't keep a house longer than 6 months. And so I was a mess in high school. I was suicidal. I had attempted suicide at many times, and drunk, high, you know, turning to drugs and alcohol to escape the pain and the torture and the level of abuse. It's a miracle that I was alive then, but I was on a fast track to nowhere, and I was high and drunk. And then all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Is this what you want for your life?" And I looked around and I was, you know, the drugs, and I saw the darkness, and I was like, no, I don't want this. But I didn't trust him because my parents were my abusers, and they were in the church, and they were, had a cover as Christians. And so I was like, if you're the God that my dad talks about, like, no, thank you. And so I was so confused because I just, my whole life thought like people that believe in God and know God and talk about God don't do the things that you're doing to me. So I ended up at Southeastern by the grace of God because I had all D's on my report card and I got credit for my name because I smoked a blunt before I went to take my SATs. So the fact that I even got in was a miracle. So I went in as a music major. I always loved music, but I got really intimidated. I had no self-esteem. I had the lowest self-worth, and I got intimidated and switched my major. And I was like, well, I like helping people. And I knew that I had come from insanity, but I didn't have any language for it or skills or tools or anything. I just knew I didn't want to live that way. And so I went into social work and I was like, okay. And you, that's, we had classes together, right? Like, memory's so bad. So that started my journey. And when I started to learn about human behavior and everything, I just loved, you know, psychology and social work. And I was like, oh my gosh, like we could fix this. You know, I always wanted to fix my family. I always wanted to help my family and all the things. So I went on to get married and became a stepmother and just kind of put my past behind me. Basically what ended up happening was I was working with the kids as a school counselor and I started getting triggered and started having flashbacks and I had a complete mental breakdown. And when I say complete mental breakdown, the memories that I was sexually abused by my father were at the forefront. And I had admitted to my husband for the first time, and we had been married for, I think, 5 years. And so I really had admitted to myself what had happened, and it left me completely broken and shattered. And it wasn't just that abuse that I was reliving. I went on for 3 days to relive being sold, being used for sexual favors, which is trafficking, being, you know, sold to pay for my dad's weed. I would have to do sexual favors. And I was ritually abused. I was reliving truly the most horrendous abuse it's just insidious. It's hard to even say out loud. But when I was reliving it, I had repressed all of it to cope and buried it. And it was all coming out at once. And so I'm having several memories, several flashbacks. And I was at this woman's house who knew the Lord. And I was like, look, I think I'm having a breakdown. And she's like, Jesus is setting you free. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, this doesn't look like freedom. Like, at that point, I don't think she knew the magnitude of the level of abuse that I had been through. But if you were in the room for those 3 days, you would have seen my body memories coming out. And it was very painful. And so what ended up happening was I felt the presence of God walk in the room, and his presence was so holy. And obviously I'm feeling so shameful and dirty because of memories of sexual abuse and things. And I just fell to the ground and I fell and I started to confess my own sin. And in his holiness, there was this pure love that I had never encountered and never felt. It was like in one breath, he could turn me into particles, but yet this warmth and this love. And what he said to me was, Claire, I heard it like audibly, not through the woman. Like I heard him say this, both of your bloodlines are in the occult. And that was a fake Jesus that you grew up with. And my name is Yeshua and I am the real Jesus. And at that point, I was not clear that really anything about the occult. I didn't know much about it. I was like, what? Yahweh, Yeshua, like, what? Like, I was so confused. But all that kept coming out was the memories of the rituals. And my body was reliving having to give birth for a forced child sacrifice, being raped, being tortured, being strapped down by my hands and my feet. You definitely want to put a trigger warning on this episode. And so I lost 17 pounds in 3 days because I was throwing up from the memory. I was shivering. I was naked. At one point I had ripped my clothes off and just screamed to the Lord, and I wasn't sleeping, and I was terrified. I saw blood on my hands. I knew that I was forced to kill at 5 years old. And I was like, oh my God, like these memories are going to kill me. But then Yeshua walked in again, and I saw him, and he was like a bride. You know, when a bride comes down the aisle with this, like, the swaying, and there were dark clouds all around him, and he was holding me at the age probably of my first ritual. And I was a child, and he said, I'm walking your soul out of hell. And I woke up, I fell asleep to that for the first time after 2 days not sleeping. I woke up and I had no voice. The screaming from the terror and the memory and the torture and the abuse and the demonic that left me took my voice. And then all of a sudden, the wind came, and in through my belly, out through my mouth, I start singing, Yeshua, you're my father. Yeshua, you're my fighter. Yahweh, you're my rock. You're my healer. You're my, and, but I could not talk. So I'm voicing to her, like, go get a pen, with no voice. And she is sobbing. And she's like, the Holy Spirit is rewriting who he is to you and who you are. And he's just taken all of that traumatic memory out, the hell, the terror, the horrendous, insidious abuse that no one should ever go through. He just took it, and he poured him back in, and to experience that was, I'm still 12 years later, just shocked and mind blown. But I immediately started to see different, and the words of, I was blind and now I see from Amazing Grace, it made so much sense to me. And, I went to my parents and I washed their feet, and I said to them, I know what you did to me, and if you just confess, he'll heal you so quickly. Because when I started to confess my own sin, my own sexual sin that had come from that, my own shame, my own, you know, drug use or coping mechanisms that I did, he took it so fast. Because what he, and I might start preaching now, but I'm just going to roll with it. Like, that's what he did on the cross. That's what he did the work. And all we have to do is confess. And the finished work of Christ then can be applied to the sin. And as I washed my dad's feet, he began to confess. He went into like a trance, like, and he said, I wasn't the father that I needed to be those years. And then he just, boom, snapped out of it. And I really thought, well, my family loves God. Like, they're going to confess and we're going to heal. And that didn't happen. I was told I was crazy. I was told that the devil lied to me. I was told that I'm deceived. And so I wrestled for a couple years with, I kind of just buried it. Like, yeah, that was just crazy. I don't know. What was that? And I was brainwashed, reprogrammed, sucked back into the occult. I didn't want to lose my family. I had eight siblings. And so I basically said, I remember the day I said it to my dad. I said, yeah, the devil lied to me. I mean, you never abused me. And then I let my children around them, and I just wanted to be normal, you know? And so a couple years after, I stayed home to heal, and I was hitting the same wall of depression and anxiety. And I said to God, like, I was having more flashbacks. Like, I knew that I was abused. I knew that I didn't just go through that deliverance and healing and encounter because nothing happened to me. I knew that I went through that because everything horrible happened to me. And no matter what they lied, God said to me the verse, I desire truth in the innermost part of you. And I said, God, I need to know the truth. I'm strong enough. I need to know that I know these memories. And so I went into a fast, and I had eating issues. I would just eat, overeat. And like, I had like attachment to food because of the shame. And that's how I covered my pain and all that. And so I said, I'm breastfeeding, you know, I'm not trying to give up my food. You know how I am with my food. Like, but I'll give you lunch, and I won't eat lunch, and I'll get on my face and I'll pray and I'll fast, because you said some only come out with prayer and fasting. And so I got on my face and I started to pray. And he said to me, it's in my book, Psalm 73, I'm forgetting the exact verse, but I didn't know what that was. And he said, look it up and repeat it. And what it said was, though my heart and my flesh may fail, you will be my portion forever. Holy Spirit said, repeat it and don't stop repeating it. And I repeated it, and I repeated it, and I repeated it. And as I was repeating, you are my portion, though my heart and my flesh may fail, the memory of being raped by my biological dad started to come up. And I abruptly ran to the shower, started throwing up, started getting sick. And I called my dad and I said, I know what you did to me. I know what you did to me. Like, I was standing up for myself in the sense of like, you guys are not going to brainwash me. You're not going to control me. Like, you're not going to tell me what's been done to me, that I'm the crazy one when I know. And God is on my side, and the truth will come out, because the truth is what sets us free. And so for the next, you know, my son is 7 now. He was 1 at the time. So for the next 3 years, I began to put the boundary up, and the hate came from my family. The assaults came, the verbal assaults, and the extended family. Nobody was there for me. I had one aunt that would listen, and she's like, I'm so sorry, but there was, and I'm thankful for her. But then she would go and be with my mom, and it wasn't fully genuine. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought, oh my God, like, am I the only one that is not dissociated and sees what happened? Like, and it was so hard for me, but my focus was to protect my children. And I gained my strength, but I still had boundaries. And so what ended up happening was, the Lord told me in another fast that I was an evangelist and that my mantle was evangelism. And he did not want me to go back to get my LCPC. And he said, start a blog. So in 2018, I started a blog, then became a life coach. And everything that God had taught me in those years, they sent me to a fake counselor. She was a witch. And when I laid on her floor screaming, my dad raped me, she looked down at me and she said, you don't know that. And I saw every evil on her face. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I didn't have a counselor for a long time. It was me and the Holy Spirit and fasting. And he revealed things and taught me things and opened, and just all of a sudden I had all these spiritual gifts and I had this confidence. You know, when you talk about confidence, I had confidence, and I want to touch on that. And like, I was like, I want to help women. Like, you know, I'm not working with teens as a school counselor anymore. Like, I want to give women all of this. And so I became a coach and opened up a studio called The Reconstructed Woman, and women were coming in. I was seeing them in individual and then group. And then I launched a podcast, and 80% of the women that came in were sexually abused. Now, I lived in the same town with my family. I still was like attending extended family things, and I had just kind of like quietly kept it under wraps, but I knew, and I was fighting for my healing, but I was not even able to say like abuse. I wasn't. And then COVID hit and more trauma came out and more memories came out that made sense to the pieces of the 12 years before of like, oh, that was that memory. That was that memory. That was that memory. And so I had to heal more, but then I realized, oh my gosh, like I am called to help women that were sexually abused, but here I'm still healing. And that's just been my journey, Des. Like, honestly, like, so I eventually God moved us away from my family, my birth family. And in the last 2 years, there's been even more of those ritual memories coming up, and they've been raw and real, and, you know, 3 days throwing up in bed and depression, and you're still fighting that broken part of you. And, you know, and you could see my book behind me, and there'd be times I'd be on with my therapist and like, I want to be her. She's strong and she's courageous and she's bold, and I'm not her all the time. When I'm working through a traumatic memory, I'm a traumatized 12-year-old again. Like, how can I be whole? Because God wants us whole. And God just never has left me. And he's like, Claire, like, you're a miracle, you know, and what you have been through, most people haven't been through. However, there's so many that have been through it. And I stand on that he is going to use it all and turn it all around for good. And that's what I wrote the book, The Reconstructed Woman, Blueprints for a Beautiful Life, for women who have been sexually abused. These are all the obstacles that God taught me in my own journey, fear and shame and pride and guilt and grief. And these are all these obstacles that build us into this false person. And that's what I want to talk to you about with confidence, because as women, we want to be confident, right? We want to like, I look at me in that picture and it's like, I'm strong and I'm confident. I value strength. And what I learned, my biggest breakthrough, that's why I say it was from breakdown to breakthrough, not only the sovereignty of God, the love of God and the goodness of God, obviously, but the reality that I had built my entire persona up until that breakdown on a false foundation. There was an idea about God, but this was not even the real God, because it was abusive circles. And this was in the church, like churches, and that's a whole nother thing. But the point is that, so on the outside, I was married, I had kids, I had a house on the water, I had a job as a school counselor. Like, I, you know, could go on vacations, I had a nice car, I could go shopping. Like, you know, I was educated and all of that. So people wouldn't even know. They would think, oh, Claire, like before, you know, people that didn't know me and the shallow, you know, people that didn't have the Lord, that's what they build their confidence on, the exterior things. And we cannot do that as Christian women, because here's the deal. Ministry, status, education, accolades, accomplishments, they're all good things, and God uses them and he's called us to do these things. But if that is what we're building on, our confidence on, we have missed the mark, because pride is a major stronghold and spirit that seeks to destroy every son and daughter of God. And pride tells you, if I have ABC, I'm good. Oh yeah, I love God, I go to church. Oh yeah, I've got this done, this done, this done. But like, it gives you a false sense of security and a false sense of confidence. And what I was walking around, and I appeared confident, I appeared bold and courageous, but inside I had the foundation of generational occultic bloodlines with abuse, physical, spiritual, emotional, sexual, and ritual as my foundation. And what were the bars that surrounded me that created who I was and the mindsets? Shame and guilt and fear and pride. And I was not who God wanted me to be in that. So the breakdown was the dismantling and the deconstructing of all of that. And then God has been rebuilding me for the last 12 years in who I am as daughter, who I am, that he could strip everything away from me, accomplishments, accolades. I mean, he told me to leave my job as a school counselor, and I had to figure out who I was. For those 6 years, not only was I healing from the abuse, I was healing from no identity, because my false identity was this puffed up with pride. Well, the pride was gone, because I was sitting in my own urine, smelling blood on my hands, knowing that I was raped by incest and impregnated. I mean, you don't have any pride after that. I lost my friends. You know, thank God my one friend stayed with me, but everyone's like, she, you know, people that weren't Christian, like, Claire lost her marbles. She's crazy. But I just like to keep it real. And before, I would just try to be like, oh, I'm this perfect. Like, no. I'm still healing. We don't arrive until Jesus arrives. I'm not perfect. Like you said in the beginning, what I've been through is a lot, and I'm still working through things. And so I've said a lot. I'm gonna let you take over.
Amazing. Claire, thank you so much for sharing your story. And like I said, I know there's so many layers and levels to it. The brainwashing and, okay, maybe this didn't happen. There was still something inside of you that was like, no, we're not going to give up. We may stay quiet for a little bit, but after a while, we're going to just build up our strength and we're going to come back and fight back. What do you think it was inside of you that allowed you to keep pushing and to keep fighting and not ultimately give up?
I think it's two things. And I want to give all of the credit to God. And I know people say you have to give credit to yourself. And I will, but I want to speak to the survivor that is listening, you know, and hopefully you have not gone through that level of abuse that I've had to, but I believe that God puts something in us from him, in the fabric of who we are, before we're even sent here. Before we're even sent in a, you know, how he says, I knew you in your mother's womb. And I truly believe with all my heart that every survivor has that same fabric in them, that same tenacity, that same ability, but they get the choice if they're going to utilize it or not. And there are plenty of days where you're not going to feel like that. You're going to feel like giving up. Like, I was suicidal. I thought I wasn't going to make it. But then there was also that I believe that the abuse was so bad that at one point, a part of me said to God, if I survive this, I will help others. I will commit if you get me out of this. And we dissociate when we're going through that level of trauma. The human body was not meant to bear it. So you dissociate. However, when you start to heal, God has to bring those dissociated parts together. And somewhere along the way, and it was probably the one, you know, with the memory with the child sacrifice with my daughter. And we could talk about that a different time, but I really feel like it was that time at 17. And I felt like I just knew that, like, if I can survive that and God has redeemed my life and rebuilt my life, and I have still suffered so much loss. I have no parents. I have no siblings. They've all turned on me. They all don't believe me. They all think I'm crazy. I've lost my extended family. And it still hurts. But God is with me. And He has anointed me to help women that have been abused. And I know that that's my purpose. It's just like a knowing. I don't always like it. I don't always want to talk about it. I fight it selfishly. I want my perfect little beautiful life and just ignore it. But then I remember, how could I when God did what He did for me, and there's other women out there being trafficked, being abused, being raped, and they're stuck. So I think it's just that passion to help others and to know that God saved me to help others.
That's so good. And I honestly do believe that, like the way that you said, it's just woven in us. Like before we knew who we were,
yes,
we came with so much, the spiritual gifts, the personality. Like when you have a baby, I feel like even within the pregnancy that you can sense how the child is going to be. Yes. Because every pregnancy is different, every birth is different, every child is different. And when I think about my kids, and I think I've asked other people this before on social media, like, did your birth experience match how your child is? And most people are like, actually, actually, yeah. Yes. So it's like, it's just, you are who you are. There's nature versus nurture, but you are who you are before you've come to this earth, before you were born. And I know, because we are creations of God, that it's like He put a little extra piece to always yearn for Him, always want Him. And there are so many times when we want and we make idols out of other things because we have that innate desire to worship and to be loved and to connect. And none of those things are wrong. It's just, who is it that you are dedicating that to, and who are you getting that from? And I love what you said about, it's so important to be careful of what you're building your confidence on, because if you're going to worship, if you're going to want love and receive love, if you're going to search for the accolades and the validation and the security from everything else but God, when those things fall away, what do you have? Like you said about the identity, like, who am I now? What do I do?
That's when you become in an identity crisis. And I went through that for years when I had to, and that's why I believe He took me from my job and He said, you need to stay home and heal. And then even as a mom, and some women just go, oh, okay, I'm a mom. They put all in their momhood, their motherhood. Well, then when the kids grow up and leave, they are lost. They don't know. I was like, I know that I'm not just a mom, and I'm lost now. I was struggling. I mean, I remember my husband, he said, it's funny now because all these years later, people will say to me, you're always so put together. And I'm not, you know, I get on social media, hot mess. But like when I do get dressed, it's like, I like my makeup, my hair done, my jewelry, my clothes, whatever. And it's just so funny because I mean, those years I was like no bras, Cheerios stuck to my t-shirt that I wore for 5 days in a row. Like I couldn't even get dressed. I was so depressed. I was so lost. And my husband actually said to me, and he's like, so kind and doesn't say anything about my appearance like ever. He's like, do you have anything like a matching? And I like, I'm like, I've been in the same dirty sweatpants and sweatshirt for like 2 years. Like And it's funny because now people will say, oh, you always have these little matching sets. And I'm like, I didn't ever match before. That my husband for those cute little matching sets. But, you know, like we have to be women that go through the hard things and realize that we all struggle with insecurities. We all, as women, we all struggle with self-esteem. And then, of course, if we're survivors, hello, because that's the thing. When you said God made us who we were, it was already like in the Teddy Graham. I always think about, you know, the Teddy Graham, how it's like a baby grows and then, you know, everything is imprinted in us. But that's why Satan comes so early with trauma and he covers us. It's like a diamond that he just covers with trash. And you have to work through all of that and make sure it's not stuck to you. Make sure it's not sticking to you. Make sure it's not your foundation. And so it's this consistent, like, you know, being honest. And I know you talked about what is a reconstructive woman. And I would say like a reconstructive woman is a woman that is willing to be strong and courageous and knows that she was made for more, knows that she was made by God with this blueprint, but life and sin, other people's sin and her own sin covered it. It's like the diamond. It's like finding who you are, but you have to sort through that trash and not just let it stick to you. And that is a reconstructed woman, somebody that's willing to humble themselves and say, I need help. I don't know everything. I'm struggling here. I need to do the hard work of healing and, you know, extending that love for yourself and for others and being courageous and bold and persistent in order to find who she is in God. You know, you're allowing and inviting God to come in and to rewire the mindsets, to take the old out. He, you know, I think it's funny that he was a constructor, a construction worker, you know, or carpenter. That's what
carpenter.
Carpenter. You know what I mean? He's a carpenter. And what does he, that's what he does in our soul. He does that in our soul. So the reconstructed woman is about allowing God to come into the areas of our soul and let him and the Holy Spirit remodel and take out the old and renew and, you know, purge us of the pain. And then we become who we truly were created to be. We become the mom. See, it spills out into everything. We become the mom. We become the wife. Like I was a hot mess mom snapping at my kids all the time. And the wife thing, I totally botched that. I mean, before my breakdown, I was a different person. I was covered in the trash. So I was so prideful, Des. Like I could not admit my weakness. If he came at me, I'd be like, oh, he would come. It's like, you spent too much money. And I'm like, and this is what you did. And would just point to him. I had no ability. You know, maybe people would have written me off at that point and said, she's a narcissist. I probably was. And that's why I always have hope for people. Cause I'm like, God can do anything. If you're willing to face yourself, he can do anything with you. But when my pride left, that's the thing. God took that pride from me and filled me with humility. It was like, oh my gosh, I went and washed my husband's feet too. And I went and I repented to him and I made repentance a lifestyle, you know, to the people around me. Like I'm not perfect. I'm going to look at my weaknesses and I'm going to work on them and be honest. And we need to be women that are willing to do that. And I think as women, we struggle with pride in itself because like we have to be so strong and we have to carry all these roles and we have to hold it all together. And we're even embarrassed to tell our friends, like, I'm struggling to make dinner. Like I had a coffee date the other day with my girl and she's like, I'm like embarrassed to tell you this. And I'm like, girl, I'm embarrassed to tell you too. They've been eating chicken nuggets for way too long. Like, whatever. Like, you know, we all want to be most women want to do everything really well. We want to have our homes in order. We want to have our house, our marriages in order, and our businesses. And it's a lot to carry.
It is a lot.
And if you're carrying trauma underneath all that, forget about it.
Yeah.
Gotta work on that.
Yeah.
So,
what would you say in closing, as we wrap up, what would you say to the woman who is hearing this and either has experienced deep-rooted trauma or is like, well, I didn't experience anything like that, but I am still feeling like a hot mess. I am struggling and I don't know what's my deal. And I don't know how to, you say that I can be strong. You say that I can be courageous. You say that I can be bold, but I am not feeling that at all. I don't see that there's any hope for me to even get to that point. What would you say to her? What is it? What is something that she can do and how can you encourage her today?
Ah, there's so many things I want to say. The first thing that is just coming to my mind is, who are you listening to? Assess the voices that you're listening to. The mentors, the coaches, whether it's TV, assess, because sometimes we're surrounded by toxic people, by people that do not have the revelations that God wants us to have. So number one, assess your surroundings. That's probably number two. Number one is really ask the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you. The truth is what sets us free. We don't want to feel pain, but in order to heal, we have to allow him to reveal, and he's a gentleman. So most of us go through life and think, because we're used to humans and we're used to abusers and we're used to evil people and fallen people, we just think that God's just going to press in and do what he doesn't. He waits for us. And usually he draws us, maybe through an episode like this. You're listening and he's drawing you and he's saying, now it's time to ask me, daughter. It's time to ask me to show you the things that you maybe didn't have the capacity to handle back then. And so asking the Holy Spirit to reveal truth, because the truth is what sets you free. And when you're feeling, oppressed and depressed, that's not freedom. Oppression and depression is either spiritual warfare, which brings me into my third point that I would tell them, or it's the root, it's the symptom of a root that needs to be healed. The third thing I would say is how's your prayer life? How's your spiritual warfare awareness? And to analyze that and to start understanding that there is a war going on. And sometimes it's not a deeper issue. Sometimes it's demonic oppression that you have to fight off and strongholds that you have to tear down. And it's hard when it's in your head because you think it's you. Sometimes it's not you. Sometimes it's the enemy. And so having the tools to equip yourself with that and surrounding yourself with women and the mirror, and then get the mirror out and look in that mirror and ask God to help you overcome the hard, the ugly. It was very hard not only facing what happened to me, it was very hard facing who I had become because of what happened to me. And I had to eat that, own that, face that, and then I just am committed to still being that, you know. So we have to just ask God to deliver us from pride. And get my book, because that will help.
Absolutely. And where can people get your book, The Reconstructed Woman?
It is on www.teamtrw.com. You have to put the www dot, because if you don't, it will go to an empty like domain or whatever. But it is free. It's only shipping. And I have a group coaching monthly course. I have individual clients that I'm taking right now. I have a online resource, which is called the Toolbox, which is filled with all kinds of resources. So there are tools for your breakthrough, for your healing, for your deliverance. And however I can help you, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm alive. That's why you saved me. I should be dead based on everything.
So. Claire, thank you so much. This has been so full. Even though I know a lot of your story, and we reconnected maybe 3 years ago or so, as I was trying to come out of my struggles with postpartum depression and just and anxiety and all kinds of things. And one thing I will say, and I always remind you of this, that you told me, and oh, I don't want to get emotional, but I was driving down the road when I got that text from you, and I can still picture the lake was in front of me. I could either go left or I could go right. And I was getting ready to make the turn. I had looked down at my phone and I got the text from you. And the thing you told me to remember is to declare that I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind. And ever since that has been my go-to. Whenever any suicidal thoughts would try to come, whenever any thoughts of just defeat, and I know that the enemy was just really trying to ramp up on me because I was doing well for a while, and then something happens and I get triggered, I would go right back to that. I have a sound mind. I would say it out loud. I would say it to myself, and I would tell the enemy, I'm letting you know I have a sound mind. So whatever you're telling me right now, it's stupid. It's dumb. I don't believe that. I don't want to do that. It seems like such a small little phrase, but it's packed with so much power, and it just gives me the encouragement and just the extra boost that I need to be like, wait a minute, who? No, I am a child of God. God has made me like this, X, Y, and Z, and just start to redeclare to myself who God says that I am, and remind the enemy, like, I'm not falling for your tricks. I'm not falling for it. I know what you're doing, and I'm going to believe the opposite of everything that you're telling me, because right now you're trying to play reverse psychology. That's what I really believe. Like, if you have any, like, doubtful, negative thoughts about yourself, that is the enemy. That would never come from God. Unless he's trying to convict you to change. But even then, still, it would never be harsh the way that the enemy comes at us. And so if you remember that, like, he's playing reverse psychology with you, reverse it. He's saying, oh, you're nothing. No, I am somebody. I am worthless. No, I am worthy. Oh, I don't deserve it. I may not deserve this, but God says I'm worthy, so he's going to make it happen for me anyway. Oh, you'll never be healed. I am already healed. And just keep, like, fighting back with the opposite of whatever he's telling you. I don't mean to preach right now, but...
No, I love it. I love it. That, because bully you. He will bully us until we stand up for ourselves.
Right.
Will bully us and push us and push us. And it's weird at first when you start doing warfare because you have to do it out loud and you're like, get away from me. And you're hearing all these crazy thoughts and you're like, oh my God, now I'm saying get away from me to the air. So now I'm really looking crazy. But like, I remember when that first like started happening to me in my kitchen. And then I'm like, wait, but the strength, the calms, the power, the sound, right? He said, he didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and sound mind. You should put that in the show notes so they declare that.
Yeah. Claire, will you close us out in prayer?
Yes. Father, I thank you. Oh, I thank you for your goodness, for your love, for your sovereignty, for your power. I thank you that you are the real God, Adonai, Elohim, Yahweh, Yeshua. I thank you for Yeshua. I thank you for the blood of Yeshua that destroys the works of darkness. God, we know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He brings false light, false Jesuses, false counterfeit, and he even is inflicted the churches with deception. But you are our Father, and you are committed to saving us, to rescuing us, to offering us truth. And so, Father, I pray for every ear, that hears this today, every heart, that you would reveal yourself as the true God, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, that there is none like you. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end, and you are the author and finisher of our faith, God. So wherever the women hear and find you today, would you just love them? Would you just reveal your presence to them? Would you give them the strength, the courage, the tools, connection, the healing that they need, the sound mind? I just release that word, and I just declare right now against the enemy that I just come against you in the listener, and I tear down every vain imagination that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ in the listener's mind. And I take captive every thought, and I declare that she has a sound mind in the name of Yeshua. A sound mind, she has power and love, and I rebuke the spirit of fear and dismantle you now by the blood of Yeshua in the name of Yeshua. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are counselor, that you are advocate, that you are comforter, that you are teacher, and that you will surround the listener with freedom, hope, peace, joy, so she can become the woman you created her to be. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Claire. And before we leave, where is the best place for people to connect with you?
I'm on Instagram the most. I have TikTok and Facebook, but I really hang out on Instagram the most at The Reconstructed Woman, or Claire Davey on Facebook, I think. So,
got it. All right, ladies. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And until next time, stay well and be blessed. Bye.
Okay, one more thing before you go. If you found any value to this episode, please don't just keep it to yourself, girl. Spread the word. You never know who needs it too. So what you can do is screenshot this episode and post it to social media. Don't forget to tag me at Desiree Ofori. You can share the link with someone special or give us a rating and review on Spotify or Apple iTunes. Like I said, you just never know who else needs this. So thanks so much for your support. And until next time, be blessed.